You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 3 July. U.S. trade balance due this afternoon expected as a minus $76.2 billion. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Odwa Mgwentu, Tribe South Africa. We've got the Arsenal Mittal update yesterday, and also multi-choice. It's trading down about 107. There's a 125 Rand offer from Canal Plus. Is this an opportunity? Rob van Aden from Scope Market. He's seeing some data that traders are moving from FX to indices, and also a boom in prop trading. What is prop trading? Kerry Lee and Edmund from Old Mutual Corporate Consultants, the incoming two-pot retirement system. She's run some math. She says for younger investors, it could result in a 2 to 3 times larger pile of money in retirement. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Tariff shock as City Power implements 200 Rand per month prepaid charge. Typical customers will now pay 19% more. This is just a grab for cash. Business Day, Trade Authority slaps 10% duty on solar panel imports. Concerned customs duty will increase the cost of renewable energy for local businesses and households. I don't think it's a concern. It would be a reality, surely. Morning markets. US, green. S&P up 0.6%. NASDAQ up 1%. Over in the east, mostly green. Sydney the exception, but literally a couple of points down, trading 0.01% lower. Tokyo is up 0.9%, Hong Kong up 1.3%, and Tencent up 0.7%. Commodities are mixed. We've got gold, 2,338 is down. Brent a little weaker, 86.73. PGMs on the run. Platinum, 1,011, and palladium, $1,017 an ounce. Rand, 1860, Bitcoin 60,900. Top 40 opening call, 420 points to the green, 0.6%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Odwa Mgwentu from Tribe South Africa. Odwa, appreciate the early morning time. The Arsenal Mittal update, which I have to say is a chunky piece of reading. There is a ton to it, and right down at the bottom they give the actual update, which says the loss is going to go from 40 cents a share to between 96 to 104. Your take on it? A lot of moving parts, but truthfully, I mean, a really, really tough space to be operating rating in, locally and globally.
100%. Thank you for having me. As you said, it was very chunky, the update that they gave. What they did was trying to paint a picture of what's happening globally. Luckily, they did announce or allude to the fact that manufacturing production did go up in the interim, mm-hmm. or in the last print. And then also they're looking at other factors like logistics, infrastructure, and rail to play positively to the business. If you go further down, operations, they did well by not closing the long steel production, mm-hmm. In the first half, and that helped them. However, they had 2 weeks of no production in the flat steel productions operation. So they went through a lot of details in terms of why the results ended up being there as they are. As you see, they're a big drop in earnings per share.
And they made a number of references to, for example, Transnet, 160 billion, which includes a deepening and lengthening two berths at Durban Container, 600 megawatts of large-scale projects coming on for power and the like. A lot of sort of infrastructure stuff, which I suppose for them is critically important. I mean, particularly in the power side, but also the ability to get their product to market, which is, rail and ports.
No, 100%. As you said, infrastructure is quite important to them as a business because, I mean, they were lucky that load shedding wasn't such a big factor. However, it could come back on the cards and anything could happen. I noticed that they have identified that external factors have hindered the business quite aggressively.
Yeah.
And that's why now they're looking on their side to look at how do they mitigate further disruptions like this coming again. And that for me is strategically sound, and it's only a matter of time to see if it does play out in the favor.
And I mean, broadly, this is a business that needs, I mean, it needs things like infrastructure, but more than that, it just good old-fashioned needs to have a situation in which it can global growth, South African GDP growth. It needs a demand for steel, which, I mean, we're just not seeing at this point in time, which is, you know, really underpinning the fact that they're losing money.
100%. Not only locally, also the Chinese market not coming up as strong as anticipated is another factor as well. So globally, they do need a lot of development to happen for the business to get that revenue. Also, the exchange rate in different countries might hurt them as well. So quite a lot of factors just playing against the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a pandemic stock that had 11 Rand in, late 2021, now trading at around 18. Something I've been noticing, MultiChoice, they, of course, have the offer from Canal Plus for 125 Rand. Last time I checked, they expect the long date on this, if I recall, is April of next year, but the stock's trading at 106. I mean, is there opportunity here to buy now at 106 and get that 125 Rand when they finally delist next year?
I think that would be, I'm not giving any advice, but I do think there is a great opportunity in that. I mean, they did negotiate very well. Remember, when they first had the offer, it was at 105 rands. Now it's at 125. I mean, so in that front, that's a great negotiation. And we have seen in recent weeks that MultiChoice is actually unbundling other businesses like the insurance business, which they sold to or selling to Sanlam. So, I mean, as a matter, I mean, yes, there is. I think a lot of people are looking at the recent results showing that there is a viewer or subscribers loss. However, that's not the bet right now. We're not trying to get a great business for the future. This is just an opportunity to get in at a cheaper price for something that's valued at 125 rands a share.
Yeah, I take your point. Those results were an absolute horror, but that frankly is moot because of the offer from Canal Plus. We'll leave it there. Audra Magwenchu, Trive South Africa, always appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Rob van Aden. He is a CEO of Scope Markets South Africa, also author of the book Badass Trader: How to Trade Your Way to Riches. Rob, appreciate the early morning. We chatted your book a while ago. I mean, you dropped me a message early in the week, and you said you're seeing a shift, clients trading from FX to indices. You're suggesting that folks are perhaps doing a little bit less FX trading, which I know the Facebook ads are always come trade FX, but most FX traders bust out and actually moving to maybe the safer index trading.
Yes, absolutely. We've started seeing a shift about last year, and it can be attributed to a couple of things. I think the learning curve for most retail traders is probably a lot easier. Forex is extremely complex, and the problem with Forex as well, you're dealing with multiple currencies and factors affecting them, which is not the case with indices. Another advantage with indices is the diversification play, because it allows traders to get exposure to broader market segment than rather than one individual asset. And this diversification can reduce risk and offer more balanced investment approach for retail clients.
I take your point in that. I mean, I'm an index trader. I state that right up front. And a large part of that is certainly in the geared space. It was single event risk that I discovered in equities. I've never been a big FX trader, but it's that basket nature. You know, we can have stocks move 5-10% either direction in a day easy enough. I don't remember when last we saw, well, a couple of weeks ago, we almost did 4% with the election of the president. Indices are just less volatile, and that does make for an easier trading environment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about volatility. It's about diversification. It's about learning curve. Also from economic indicators, because suddenly with you know, with currency pairs, you have to be monitoring, you know, for example, two economic environments, where with one indice, it's usually driven by one economic environment. So a lot more advantages. And I think what things have also changed quite a lot. You know, in the past, it was very difficult to trade indices. You know, you had to, there weren't many, and they weren't, you know, you had to trade them in lots. Now there's smaller lot sizes as well. So accessibility has changed quite a lot across the globe. And from an education perspective as well, I've seen a lot more people moving into teaching indices than FX in the last couple of months. So there's been a massive shift.
Okay, this is great. I'm a huge fan, as I said. I'm in the gear trading space. I'm an index trader, and I just like it. I think it's just nice and easy. You also made a point that you're seeing a lot of prop trading popping up everywhere. I suppose first question, what is prop trading?
So prop trading is basically, I'll give you the old school definition. Mm-hmm. Prop trading is where you use someone else's capital to trade with. And in the past, it was basically you had a lot of people joining a prop house and you had to pay for your own costs. So you had to pay basically for your seat cost.
Yeah.
And you were made, you were given the opportunity to trade the house or the business's capital. That has also evolved and moved electronically, where you need to do a challenge, and then if you pass the challenge, you've got access to capital, and then you can trade the firm's capital. So it's been a shift. You still get the traditional prop houses, but it's moved all on towards you know, doing a challenge and getting access to capital. One advantage of these prop challenges and access to prop capital is that you do, like I mentioned, you've got access to capital.
Yeah.
But it's very, very difficult, and a lot of people don't understand it, because you usually have to pay for the challenge, and a lot of people don't understand if you can't succeed trading either a demo account or your own account, your chances of succeeding a prop trading account is very small, because they're very stringent regulations in terms or rules rather. In terms of, you know, you need to be earning at some of these some of these prop houses through the challenge 10% per month earnings you have to generate.
Yeah, yeah.
And your losses gone. And this is the big thing that trips most people over, is basically these maximum drawdown levels. You know, for example, you can't go more than 2% a day or 5% a month, even as high as 10%. So it's an old idea that's been modernized through online, but it's generally if it provides access to people to trade with larger sums of capital.
I intuitively like the idea, and I see the benefit, of course, but a quick last question, and I know this from my days of trading. You know, your account is one size, and then suddenly you scale it up, and the psychology hits you. You know, in theory, whether you're trading with 100 Rand or 100,000 Rand, it's all the same rules, but of course, psychology is a big part of it, and that can really eat into your brain.
No, absolutely. You know, I think we're both fans of, you know, position sizing and, you know, either 1% to 2% of capital. And I think sometimes, you know, those good measures get out of a person's mindset, because when, you know, suddenly they can play with, let's say, $100,000 or $10,000, and then, you know, they forget good common sense in terms of trading.
Yeah, and trading is so much the psychology. We'll leave it there. Yeah. Rob van Heerden, CEO, Scope Markets Africa, and author of the book, Badass Trader, How to Trade Your Way to Riches. Appreciate the early morning.
If seagulls were Hadidars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Kerry Lee Edmund, Analytics and Insights Manager from Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. Kerry Lee, appreciate the time today. We've got the two-part system, which is now literally just a matter of months away. So right around the corner. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show, and I want to refresh some of it. I think it's worth it. But there was a note that came out from yourself recently, which really struck out for me. And you said, the new two-pot system can increase retirement savings 2 to 3 times greater than under the old system. What's the logic and thinking here?
Well, Simon, as a scientist, I must turn to the math. We do recognize that there is an inherent difficulty in predicting human behavior,
sure.
particularly in the context of something like financial decision-making. So for some guidance into the future, we have to turn to our data, statistics, our modeling scientists to assist us. And to explore the potential effects that this new system could have for us as existing employees that are already party to this current system, mm-hmm. we built a series of financial models simulating multitudes of possible outcomes. The math is tricky for existing employees because, as you know, we have this vested component in play and we can't with certainty predict what everyone will do. But what our models eventually allowed us to conclude was a statistically significant probability that members would achieve better retirement outcomes in the two-pot system than they would in the current one. The likelihood of which increased the longer a member would be in that new system. Now, what that mouthful means in very simple terms is that the younger you are, with more years to go until retirement, the more probable it is that your retirement outcome will be better in the new two-pot system than it would have been had nothing changed. And to simplify that even more, for the very youngest in our herd, the new employees that will join the workforce after the 1st of September 2024, they're in their first jobs. They have just the two components, the savings component and the retirement components. Mm-hmm. The math becomes fairly straightforward. So currently, also from our data investigations, we know that the working population is saving an average of about 3 times their annual salary in retirement. So I'll allow you to do that calculation for yourself. Let's say I was earning $500,000 a year. On average, that means in retirement savings, we're achieving about $1.5 million on average.
Yeah.
Post-implementation of this system, in a worst-case scenario, so let's say an individual withdraws all of the funds in their savings component for emergencies, they are still expected under the same circumstances to retire with savings of at least almost 10 times their annual salary. So at that same $500,000 annual salary, those savings in retirement is now $5 million. So quite a significant increase from $1.5 million to $5 million in retirement savings. So that's quite a simple way to really unpack and understand how that finding of at least 2 to 3 times greater applies. So current member experience, 3 times annual savings, mm-hmm. even in the worst case scenario in the two-pot system, almost 10 times annual savings. And of course, if you are not withdrawing from that savings component, the retirement position that you can look forward to would be even better.
Is this simply because I'm with you? I love myself some good old-fashioned math. Is this simply because, I mean, and I did it when I was young and I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I left a job and I took my retirement money, paid the tax and spent it. I have no idea what I spent it on. It was so many years ago. But now when we leave jobs, we can't touch that 1/2. It sits there regardless.
Absolutely. So there will be a portion of compulsory preservation to this.
Yeah.
As I said, there will be the 3 components, the vested component, your savings mm-hmm. component. So that's for the short-term emergencies. And then there is this third retirement component. So 2/3 of all of your future retirement contributions from 1 September will go into this retirement component. Importantly, these will be legally mandated and preserved for the purchase of an annuity or a pension income at the time of retirement. So you will not be able to touch that until retirement age. So there's almost a dual purpose here. Short-term emergencies, now I can access this fund without having to resign from my job, without having to divorce my partner, but not actually divorce them. And also now, hopefully, improve our retirement outcomes in the long run.
And you make the point around emergencies. I mean, in an ideal world, and I appreciate it's not an ideal world, it is tough out there with inflation and interest rates, just life in its curved balls. We would have an emergency fund for emergencies, and we would never necessarily need to touch that savings amount if it's an ideal world.
Absolutely. As you've said many times before, the savings components are designed to be emergency funds. Yeah. Of course, it will be up to an individual to decide what constitutes an emergency. Mm-hmm. But members of retirement funds are encouraged to avoid withdrawing from their savings components as far as possible, primarily because such withdrawals will be taxed at your marginal income tax rate, very important to understand. And that will be eroding the funds that are meant for retirement. And also just by accessing any of these savings prematurely, individuals do miss out on the magic of compound growth. So as you said, naughty in the beginning of your career, you withdrew that money, you've missed out on all of these years of compound interest, which is absolutely fundamental for growing assets over time in any of the components.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a lot of money, but of course, give it 30 years, it's a different game. You also said something
time is a wonderful thing, Simon.
I always say time is your best asset as an investor. The more you have, the easier it is. You mentioned at retirement, there's no change to the rules when we get to retirement age. We can take some cash, the rest must buy an annuity. Some of it is tax-free, 550,000 if memory serves. Those all rules remain as they were, no changes for when we hit retirement date.
Absolutely correct, Simon. There will be no changes to those rules and regulations at retirement.
We'll leave it there. That's Kerry Lee Edmund, Analytics and Insight Manager, Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. Really appreciate the insights. That's it for today. I forgot to pop the poll in from Rob. What do you trade? Are you trading FX, indices, commodities? Maybe you prefer the equities. Have your vote, have your say on LinkedIn and Twitter. And yesterday, we were chatting with Rikus Reuters, buying shares at all-time highs and how he manages it. A lot of people get spooked by it. He has a couple of theories on why we shouldn't and how we can manage it. Asked you, are you happy to buy at those all-time highs? 45% of you said if there is value. But the same again of another 45 said if the story is compelling. The rest of you were saying that you absolutely love the highs almost regardless. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Structured products, EMs, and growth.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.